where I worked, this little village, and there was to lead a prayer meeting. And this elderly man came to me and said, "Hi, boy, where do you come from?" And I thought he meant, where did I come from that particular time? So I said, "Oh, I'm from Ballymena." And he said to me, "No, you don't look and talk like Ballymena man." So ever since I say, "Well, look, I'm Liberian. I come from Liberia, not Nigeria. I come from Liberia, and God brought me in this country many years ago during the civil unrest in Liberia. And ever since I've been here, do I go back and forth in Liberia. It is great to be with you people here. Now, I don't say this from my lips. I say this from the depths of my being. As mission workers in London, with the London City Mission, there are times that we find it difficult to pray. There are times that we are confused. You know, there are times that it's just so hard. And even as missionaries, we wondered, "God, are you here with me?" And yet we see ourselves at times being lifted and set on a wavelength to trust God. And it is because people like you praying for us. And I want to thank you. And as I said, I used to work for Faith Mission. I used to go to places, and I would have one or two people pray in union. And when I left, I was strengthened by their prayer, their fellowship, and their encouragement. So thank you for praying for us. Thank you for encouraging us in the work. God is doing wonderful work. And this morning I will be sharing with you through pictures, and those are real people that I'm in touch with on a weekly basis. You know, because of this GDP, whatever, I may not be mentioning him. You know, I was told recently by some of my mission people that, "Dada, you mentioned so many, you gave us so much information." You know, I love to say a lot about them, but I would just be, you know, showing you those pictures and saying a few things about them. But before that, I have some information on the table back there. I will encourage you, if you haven't already done it, to please, you know, fill in this little form. Now, I'm not great at money raising. For me, I say if you can fill this form in to pray, that would be the most important thing you can do. I mean, I remember when I came in this country, people were saying, "How will you get to Faith Mission? Who is going to pay your school fees and what? And I got to Faith Mission. I said, what I needed was prayer. When I got there, a man who had prayed for my father for many years, he was already in old people's home, and he heard about it, he paid my fees. So God answers prayer. So please do that and pray for us. Now, we're going to start with those pictures, and later on, I'm going to close it with a few verses from the scripture. Now, that is our center is too dark. I work in Patrick Christian Center, just on the edge of King's Cross. It's about 10 minutes walk from King's Cross to Patrick Christian Center. We are in the borough of Islington, again on the edge of the borough of Camden. And it is needed place. In fact, when the mission put me in King's Cross, Patrick Christian Center, I didn't like it, because the place was rough. Prostitution and everything is on one of the back streets. But amazingly, God did something that today I love working in that place. I used to go to Pentonville Prison every Wednesday to do things with young people. I was there one Wednesday evening, and a young lad came to me after I've spoken. He came to me and he said, "I know where Patrick Christian Center is." I said, "Ah, and why are you here? Did you ever go there?" He said, "Oh, yes, I went there for children's club many years ago. I know Mr. Wilson and so on." And I said, "Did you ever get saved?" "No." And I said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Look, from the time I was like this," he illustrated it, "knee high, I have been a criminal. And that's why I'm here." And that spoke to me. And when I went home, verses that I learned in Faith Mission, even at home, you know, Where sin is on the increase, where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds much more. And God used that word to speak to me that this area, sin is on the increase. And this is where God's grace wants to save people's life. And ever since then, I've loved that place and I love working there. The next slide. Technology. Okay, these are the things that we do during the week. Now, as I said, Patrick Christian Center is there to serve Christ, is there to bring Jesus to the people, to the community there. So on a Monday, we have something we call Little Thoughts, Mom and Thoughts. Now, about 66 children, their mothers and carers, tomorrow morning will be all over in a place. And then on a Tuesday, I do Senior Citizens. We do Senior Citizens Bible study. Now, when I use the word please delete it. We work as a team. You know, it's just my part of my African thing. There's a team of us working there. I'm in charge of the center and the team. And it's now one person. And we are doing all these things. Little children, little thoughts. And then on a Tuesday, we run Bible study for senior citizens. Is not in the center, it's in the community. I still strongly believe in the Great Commission. Go and meet people where they are and disciple them. So go and teach local senior citizens, sitting with them and doing Bible study. And in the afternoon on Tuesday as well, we run Bible study in the center for the community. And again, it's great to see some people that will not go to church, you know, find it easier to come to the center. And on a Wednesday, I do quite a bit of pastoral visit in homes, sitting with people and sharing with them. And then on Wednesday evening, I support the church that meets in the center, you know, do help with his Bible study. The vicar help with his Bible study. Thursday, we run Little Drop-In and Job Club, you know, in partnership with CAP, you know, Christian Against Poverty. And then on a Friday, we have Children's Club. And right after the Children's Club, at, you know, half five, Youth Club, which is called GAP. So these are the things that we do. And we see the building, King's Cross, the Patrick Christian Center, as a great resource for us. Next slide. Now, that's somebody, as I said, that's Little Thoughts, some of the mothers help us. I mean, that's just on Monday morning. And I found it fascinating. When I go to some of the people, I keep telling the local vicars and pastors, I say, look, this thing is not magic. It is going out and meeting people where they are, talking to them, building relationships. That's what Jesus did. Next one. Some of the mothers and the little, the, I call him little boy, he's a dad. Now, that guy is only 18 years old. And his partners already have, she's 23 and they already have four children. And he's in and out. So what is going to change people like that is the gospel. And that's been there with up there is our senior citizen Bible study. Not many, sometimes we have eight, sometimes two, sometimes one. And then over there is a lady that I've known. I visited her recently, she was in hospital and there I was with her, and down there is our senior citizens, you know, breakfast. So we just do these things, and it gives us opportunity to share the gospel with them. And then next slide. Now that's a youth club. Friday evening is our youth club. Now that's our youth club social. Now people keep saying, I say, see, when you gave us money, the money, I say that to my own church in Northern Ireland, I'm supported by a church called First Ahoko Presbyterian Church. And what I'm saying to them, I say the money you gave us, it goes towards evangelism. Now, we take young people out. I love to take them into, not McDonald's or Kentucky, I take them out to Nando's. They love it. And when they go, they eat. But the thing is, before we go, we sit and we do good study with them and we share with them. And then we go and come back and then we have a, something like a debrief
or to follow, or we have a discussion. We have seen some of the young people come to faith. Now, so yes, material thing, God uses it to bring people to himself. So that's our youth club. And the next one, senior citizens. Now, why I have, you see there, the guy with the white beard and the wife beside him. Now, I'm happy to call their name. That's June and Ray. Now, for years, I have been visiting June and Ray, and nothing was happening. And I thought about it. I said, no, I think I'm wasting so much time. You know, sometimes missionary, you think they are golly, but I wasn't being. I said, I'm wasting my time. For almost 6 years, I've been visiting these people at home, inviting them for anything, and there's no move of God in their life. So I think I'm going to give my time to someone else. You know, I said that in 2017, and Jay John, you know, meeting at Emirates, I invited them. And we went. Two of them got saved. And that was 2017. I think that was the 5th of July. Ray and June got saved. And interestingly, they are active in the little church that meets in the center. Now, sometimes we are, as I said from the beginning, you know, we are flesh and blood. We gave up. I was giving up, but God did not give up. And today, this morning, Ray will be reading a passage in the church that meets in the center. And Ray comes on Thursday for the drop-in we do. He comes on Tuesday for the Bible study. And he's growing in the Lord. Next slide. Now, up there is, again, a guy, I will call his name, that's Roy. Roy lost his wife a few years ago, and he got discouraged. He gave up work, but we kept on with Roy. Roy is not yet Christian. But every day I say to Roy, Roy, look, it is good to structure your time. It's good to find something. Last year, Roy was able to get a security job. He is loving it. And it has given him structure. So just pray for him. I mean, he's open to me. Everything I say to him, he accepted, but he's not letting Christ to change his life. Now, on this other hand, over there you see about 5 of us standing there. There's a Muslim lady called Jehara. She's Somalian. Again, that's a lady that I go into a house back and forth. You know, I would take some member of the team with me. She would make food and bring it for us. Recently, she got a new flat. She invited us to go and pray and bless the flat. Now, the thing is that she had a lot of experience with her Islamic faith, that she doesn't trust anybody. She trusts us. But she is not letting Christ to take control over her life. Pray for her. I mean, she's very friendly with us. She comes sometimes, she will make food and bring it for us in the center. There's a guy that I'm sitting by over there. He's half Turkish and half English. He became Christian last year. For many years, he's 30 years old, young man. For many years, again, we have been speaking to him. And last year, an Ethiopian lady that helped me, and I started to talk to him, and he gave his life to the Lord. And I remember he did that on a Sunday. And the first thing he said, I want to go to church. I said, well, I'm going to church. You know, I attend All Souls. And he went with us to All Souls. And he sat there, and he said, this is really beautiful. Now, he comes to the church that meets in the center. So that's Hamza. It is his name. The next slide. Now, that lady I'm standing by is, she became Christian 4 years ago. Now, she's Shiite Muslim, Lebanese lady, door to door. Well, people say it doesn't work, it's getting harder, as it's not easy to enter into home. But one of my friends, Jackie, was knocking on the door, and there was that lady came out, and she was going through lots of problems. She was contemplating on taking her own life. And Jackie started to talk to her. And she gave her life to the Lord.
and we discipled her for a year. Now we pass her on to the local church that meets in the center. That's her being baptized in the center. And now she helps me because she speaks fluent French, Arabic, English. So when I'm visiting Muslim people, she comes with me and she speaks to them. Very well educated lady. So that's some of the things we do, and God is at work. What I've seen recently is God is moving within the Islamic community. God is now exposing things, and God is confusing them. And in the midst of that exposure and confusion, as Christians, we need to be praying that God will focus then on Jesus. I think this is one of the best time to ever talk to Muslim, because most of them that I speak to, they come out, they say, you know, I don't really know what to believe now. I say, yes, that's good. People have been like that. But I tell you, it's not about what to believe, it's who to believe. And it gives me opportunity to talk to them. Let's see, next one. Right, I'm going to point at this lady. In the middle is, here is Gooch. Now that lady's son was just stabbed to death on Caledonian Road in January, the 6th of January. Now she comes to the center. She's Turkish. Her son Nadine, if you check your internet, you will find out that Nadine was stabbed on Caledonian Road this year, January. Now, we're still working and visiting her at home. She's in the center there. Now, up there is a lady called Tina. She became Christian. And Tina is now helping us with children's work. Again, we discipled her for almost a year. And then that's Tina over there with Ray. Just the last Good Friday, I had them to read a passage. And that's the two of them there. Now, people become Christian. You know, I keep saying to sometimes churches and people, I say sometimes we make bad Christian. Because people become Christian, we don't disciple them, and they go, and they say, yes, I have become Christian, and they live in the sin life. When people become Christian, I believe that I should disciple them. In fact, you know, through discipleship, Tina and I came to John chapter 5, and we talk about the lady at the well, and we talk about the five husbands. And Tina looked at me and said, so all these men I went out with, are they my husbands? I said, well, in a sense they are, but they are not. And you know, from there, she really started to think deeply. And now Tina has come to know, you know, that these things are so bad. And it is through discipleship. And she's helping us with children's work. She comes and she does the snacks that we do for the children. On a Sunday morning, she helped to read. And on a Tuesday afternoon, she's involved in the Bible study. The next one, and that's my family to end up with, wife and four children. You know, you pray for missionaries, and I know you pray for family as well. Because I keep saying to the team that work with me, I say, see, it's a teamwork. Your wife, your husband, your children. I said, because, you know, if one of your children fall at home with illness, you won't be saying, oh, I'm going on the door and later on. So we need to pray for one another. So thank you for praying for us as a family. That's about it. There's quite a few that I should have shown, but it will take time. Now, let me close with a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, my own background, I strongly believe that only God can bring people together. Only God can reconcile us. Now, I didn't get this deep understanding long ago. I got it through the civil unrest in my country. I'd never choose to leave Liberia. Most of my family left before the civil war. Some were living here and there. But I was enjoying Christian work in Liberia until the civil war came. Most of my family members killed. My own father left the country. He was in exile for quite a while, and then he returned the very day he arrived. After 6 years in exile, the very day he arrived, he was arrested and killed. And I have struggled with God for many, many years. And then 2002, I first went in the country. It was still a civil war, and it was different from the country that I left. And when I saw it, I said, no. You know, it is not education that will build things. Because most of the people that were involved in the civil war, they got education in the West, in America, all over the place. Some even went to Cambridge. So I realized it's not education. It is not money, because a lot of these people have money. Why they were taking, you know, people 8 years old child and giving them AK-47 to fight, they were sending their children to Switzerland in the best schools and in America and other places. So they are educated. They have money. But that's not education. So I came back to UK, and then later I started to pray, and God laid it on my heart to start something called forgiveness, peace, and reconciliation with communities. And the first person that I ever invited to go with me was my former boss of London City Mission, John Nichols, Dr. John Nichols, and I went to Liberia in 2006, and then we did peace and reconciliation. He was speaking on church mandates, and I was speaking on peace and reconciliation. I did a bit of study in that in Coventry University to just give me a bit of concept of what it is. It gave me secular and educational concept. It didn't give me biblical concept. But what I, you know, but it is this passage that I usually use over. Now, and it is the passage that I just want to pick a few words there for us to look at. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. You know, the King James Version says, behold, all things have become new. And then it goes down to tell us that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassador. Now, just a few things from there. And that was my conviction. That if you're going to see your country, the people there, you have to see them from different lenses, not in the world of view. And there, what was my motivation? Because of love of God. That's what Paul is saying here. From the beginning, we know Paul was a man who, you know, the way he saw people was different. He's on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. And what happened? God brought him down and blinded him. And when God opened his eyes, he was a new man. And he employs some unusual words to describe, you know, the transformation. God compels me. The love of God controls me. The love of God drives me. Now, the question for each one of us is, the love of God driving us? Now, when I think of the history of London City Mission, why someone like David Knight Smith in 1835 you know, this man, he saw people. But it wasn't just him. It was the love of God that drove him to start this organization, to reach out to the socially and economically excluded, knowing that these people are made in the image of God. And that's how we should view people. So it was the love of God. The motivation here is the love of God. And when the love of God changes us, it gives us new identity. Now, you can see the words of Paul. You know, whenever I read those verses, it brings comfort to me. Paul is saying, look, I no more regard anybody from this worldly standpoint. Why is he saying that? Because God has given him a new sight. I see men and women, boys and girls, children, the prostitute on the streets, the Muslim, the Sikhs, all these people. I see them as men and women created in the image of God, regardless of their social status, their achievements, their, you know, academic status, everything. They are nothing until that image is filled with God himself. You know, we remember when the Pharisees were testing Jesus. They brought the coin of Caesar and they said, look, whose image is on this? And Jesus said, Caesar. And Jesus gave this message to them. Gave to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Gave to God what belongs to God. Folks, every man and woman that we see, they belong to God. We must give them the gospel. We must give them the gospel. Because their destiny without the gospel is eternal damnation. And so they need the gospel. So Paul no more regard people from that worldly standard. He sees them as God's people, created in the image of God. God also gave him a new purpose and a new mission. The purpose and the mission is tell people. As simple as that. You are God's ambassador. I have an uncle who was a Liberian ambassador in Egypt. And he was also killed, interestingly, because he won't speak for the government when the government was slaughtering people. The government at that time was slaughtering their own people, and then he wanted, the uncle to pass on the message, which is ambassador's job. You speak for the country. You don't say something away from there. But he won't do it. So they recall him to Liberia. He was serving in Egypt. And again, they recorded him. The very day he arrived, he was arrested and killed. Now, we are Christ's ambassador, representing Christ. We have been given this mission to speak for Christ. And that's why the Great Commission, this is where the Great Commission comes in. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I will add to it, and becoming the family of God. Now, the team that work with me, I say to them, Patrick Christian Center, as I was saying, it is a resource, great resource for us. Our office is the district. Our office is going and meeting people on the streets. Now, I use the post office. I use the little or the cafes along the road to sometimes have my breakfast, especially when it comes to 9:30 in the morning. Because there's few on the Caledonian roads. All these women drop their children to school, and that's where they end up for breakfast. And that's where you get all the gossip. All the gossip. You sit there with them at breakfast, and you hear everything. And it is good. It gives me good information of the district, what's going on. I don't sometimes need to read Islington Gazette. I just get there and I say, how was things? Especially tomorrow morning. I say, how were things over the weekend? Oh, the police were over here. Oh, you know, this happened there. And I get the whole story. and I share that with my colleagues. And you go to the post office, the queue is always as long as something. And then you stand in a queue, and there's a conversation. You know, Jesus said we should go out. I try to encourage some of our local churches. I say, it's great that you have a beautiful sound to put all your programs that goes on in your church. But try and reach out. Let a building be a great resource to bring people in and disciple them. But reach out, because Jesus, what Jesus did is interesting. He's God. He created the world. He created people. He could have saved them from heaven. But when we look at Philippians, what the Philippians chapter 2 say to us, he came, he humbled himself, even unto the cross. He became one of us to relate to us. So Christians, we are motivated by the love of God with the new identity and a mission to go and relate to people and bring them to Christ. And when we do that, God bless his church and people. And those are just few thoughts that came to me from this passage. And let us be encouraged. As I said, some of the leaflets I have by there, there's one there that talks about 30-day prayer for Islam. Do pray for Muslims. In this country, God is doing something among Muslims. As I said, they are confused. I usually go to a Hyde Park, the speaker corner. You know, just it's entertaining to me. You know, you have sometimes the fundamentalist Christian, and then you have the fundamentalist Islam, and then you have the liberal Islamic, and then sometimes the easy, you know, intellectual Christian. And you see that when those two groups, especially the two fundamentalists, going at one another, I like to talk to the Muslim. And sometimes I say straight to them, like there's a guy there that I asked the last time, I said, do you actually believe everything that has been said? He said, not really. He's Somalian fellow. He said, not really. I said, why not? He said, no, I'm here to defend Islam. I said, no, let's forget about defending Islam. And as we got into conversation, he started to tell me about his personal struggle. And he gave me his name, his mobile number, and he said, please be praying for me. Please be praying for me. I really need help. God is working. We just need to ask God, look, lead us to the one that is ready. And God does that. That lady that I showed her picture, she was ready. Brought up in Lebanon, Shiite Muslim Christian, highly educated. And there she was in a home thinking about taking her own life. And Jackie, one of our missionaries, knocked on the door. She was ready. Now, baptized. Her name has appeared in Lebanon that she has been converted. Toga is a colleague of ours. You know, he's from Turkish background, but he was a CID in a police force. He and I are working on that, you know, because her name has appeared in Lebanon that, you know, she has become Christian, and it was all on social media there. So I spoke to Toga, and Toga said, well, we need to go to the police and make sure that she's kept safe. So again, pray for that lady. Her name is Azar. Pray for her, that God protects her. She goes with me to visit some of our Muslim contacts. But let God help us as he has given us, you know, this new identity. We are driven by his love. All of us sitting here, I mean, why would we be thinking about people in London? Young people. It's not because of who we are. It's because what God has done in our life. He has given us that deep love, and he's in control. Paul said in that verse, to close it with, for Christ's love compels us, Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all die. You see, we have to die to ourselves, die to everything, but to live unto Christ. And it is that love that driving us. Thank you for, again, your prayer, your invitation, and let's keep doing that. We are in minority in a sense, but our prayer is big. If you know, you know, young Isaiah was God raised young Isaiah during a time when the nation was in chaos, and he was obedient. When God has cleansing touch on his lip, said, "Here am I, go." And God told him, "You will go, some of these people will close their ears." But his part was to be obedient, and our part is to be, knowing that our God is faithful. Thank you for having us, and we will close with our last hymn. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you going to lead it? Thank you very much.